Our reading today is from Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. The promise that Abram would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what God had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. In other words, it was reckoned to him, were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending. By paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. For most of my life, I was terrified of public speaking. Just terrified. I remember the first time I know I had to give a speech in a class. I think it was grade 7. And we got to write it out and everything. But for weeks, I worried about that speech. I stressed about it. I was anxious over it. I lost sleep over it. And all I remember about that speech was getting up out of my seat and sitting down afterwards. It was so terrifying. I don't remember being up in front of the class. And that was my experience of most of the times where I was kind of forced to give some kind of speech or speak in public. I would get knots in my stomach. I would just have this unsettled anxiety forever. Dread is a good word. Just praying and hoping that somehow I might make it through it. That somehow I would survive it. That I wouldn't look like a fool. That people wouldn't laugh at me. That what comes out of my mouth would be somewhat coherent. And that stuck with me for over half my life. Early on, though, there was always this sense that there's this nudging toward being a pastor. Because I was always drawn to things around church, especially around youth group, those kinds of activities. And even in my 20s, when I got really frustrated with the institutional church, I was always very aware that I was separated from it. I was in an argument with it. But that was within the context of knowing that I had this connection with the church and kind of this pull and this draw. And that was until I turned 30 years old. In our first reading today, we have the story of Abraham. Or actually, when his name is changed from Abram to Abraham. Abram means father. Abraham means father of many nations. And we have this covenant that God gives to Abraham and says, here's my covenant. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You'll have kings and nations, your descendants will be as numerous as the stars. But I went back and looked at the original call. Abram's original call was when he was 75. And he was there in Haran, and he heard God's promise. Follow me, walk before me, and I will make you, make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. At 75, he heard that call. What was it that gave him the confidence, the courage to set out, as just his opening prayer said, on paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown, a venture of which he could not see the end? What was it that had him pick up and go from Haran and begin that long journey that took him numerous places, numerous times where his life was in danger? What allowed him, what had him answer that call? Well, Paul gives us an answer. If I could have the first, this is just a slide showing just a portion of what we read. Paul writes, "For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." The righteousness of faith. That'll preach, won't it? The righteousness of faith. Don't you love those words? I've been hearing those words my whole life. Righteousness and faith. There's a whole bunch of these religious words that I grew up with. And to tell you the truth, I started hearing them before I knew what they meant. And some of those words, I still struggle to figure out what they meant. One of those words is grace. We use that all the time. I finally figured out, once I started getting grace in my mid-20s, I've been working on a working definition. And kind of right now, it's sort of like God saying, you know, no matter all that stuff you think doesn't make you worthy or of value or somebody that something that would make you apart from me, God says, I don't care. I love you. That's kind of my working definition of grace. I'm still going to keep working on it so I can claim it. But anyway, righteousness and faith are a couple of those words, especially righteousness. What does righteousness mean? Because the same word in Greek that means righteousness also means justified. There's another good religious term. Righteousness and justified. And so in this particular instance, I want to acknowledge Eugene Peterson for coming up with a translation that really opened up doors for me in hearing this. On the left is the one that I just read. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The way Peterson translates this in the Message is that famous promise God gave Abraham was not given because of something Abraham did or would do. It was based on God's decision to put everything together for him, which Abraham then entered when he believed. This righteousness of faith, just imagine that God has a future that Abraham was invited into, that God was inviting Abraham into. God's saying, I have this future for me. Trust me. Trust me. And step into that future, and that future will be fulfilled. And even the language that God used is so interesting. For God said, when he was given, talking about his covenant, he said, "For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. You hear the future completed already in that present tense statement that God made. For I've made you ancestor to a multitude of nations. God is a God of promise. What that means is God has a future for us, not forced on us, but a future for us, offered to us, saying, trust me. Step into my future for you. Trust, well, as Jesus says, trust in the way I'm inviting you to live and you will have abundant life. Trust that a life of love gives an abundant life. Trust that a life of compassion gives you an abundant life. Trust that a life of service and forgiveness gives you an abundant life. God is asking, do you trust me enough to step into the future that I have for you? When I turned 30, I started having, 30 is one of those turning points in life, right? And I started questioning, what am I going to do with my life? At that point, I'd been an electrical engineer for almost 10 years and encountered some frustration. And as I started thinking about, maybe being an engineer for the rest of my life is not what God is calling me to be. And it really became a prayerful process, trying to discern who God and what God was calling me to be. And of course, what was there almost immediately was this urging, this nudging, this call to go and be a pastor. And right there alongside it was the realization that if I answered that call, if I stepped into that future, I would have to be up almost every Sunday speaking in public. Why would anybody ever do that? And especially for this person who knew the terror, who, whenever I had to do it before, just hoped to survive, how could I possibly step into that future? And it really came down, it took the form of the question, do I trust God enough? Do I trust God enough to step into this future and become a pastor? And I wish I could say it was as easy as stepping into it. Immediately I recognized I had oratorical powers, and et cetera. Oh no, my first couple of sermons were as terrorizing as I thought they'd be. Somehow I survived after getting physically sick beforehand. And folks were nice afterwards, only I'm thankful that I don't think there's any record of those sermons, so they can be critiqued at this point. But as I went to seminary and took on the preparation of being a pastor, being a preacher, then God nudged me. God brought into my life people who could see in me the preacher that God saw in me. And brought coaches in, people who could affirm me. And now I stand before you with a doctor of ministry and preaching. And this last week, we've been putting that to use. Pastor Laura and I have been teaching seminarians from Lutheran Theological Seminary about preaching. Preaching to four students who also have heard a call from God. And are taking steps into that future. Taking steps to trust that God will equip them, that God will use them as instruments of proclaiming God's love, use them to make a difference for people in the name of Christ. Now, you might be hearing this as a sermon of, if you hear God's call, it means you're going to seminary. Well, Pastor Laura and I are very, very clear that Stacy Kotler just heard a call from God. We've been celebrating her arrival as office administrator. And just Bill and Sasha know that we were on this journey of interviewing for a while and it just didn't quite feel right. And then something nudged Stacy to throw her hat in the ring. And as we started engaging and thinking about it, it just became clear that there was a call there, that she was a person at this point in time that we needed. And we're giving thanks that Stacy stepped into that call, into the midst of being part of a team that facilitates a ministry in this place. Your council has been trying to discern the call for the congregation, asking questions like, who is God calling us to be? What is God calling us to do? And doing the work of developing that discernment muscle and exploring what it looks like to claim it and to step powerfully into it. And we have, of course, the AGM is this afternoon, and we need at least one more council person to get up to what the Constitution requires. And so in leading up to that, instead of having a nominating committee, we decided what we need to do is put together a council person call committee where we gather together and ask the question, who is God lifting up right now? Who is God calling to take a step and join this process that we're in to, on behalf of the congregation, to discern, to listen, to help us navigate this this time of COVID. Talk about paths as yet untrodden. This last year has been so crazy and so unforeseeable. And as we discerned that, we came up with some words that we thought were the gifts that are needed right now. Words like discernment, openness, support, healing, listening, celebrative, excitement, lightness, brightness, wisdom, spiritual maturity, worker, and resiliency. And as we pondered that list and sat back to see what names God would suggest to us, we came up with some. And when we approached those, four of those people also said, yes, I am willing to take the step. I am trusting God that this is a time for us to be on council. We'll be talking about this some more in the AGM, kind of how God has been at work in the last year and how we start thinking about how God might be at work. This is about listening for God's call. And once we hear it, not giving in to all the fear and anxiety, but trusting that if we step into that future, God will unfold it for us. The ongoing question for us this afternoon, for each of us all the time, is do we trust God enough? Do we trust God that if we step into that future, that if we trust God's promises, that abundant life will unfold? The promise isn't that it would be easy. The promise isn't that it won't be hard. But the promise is that it will provide abundant life. I invite you to continue to dwell into that. Do you trust God? Do we trust God to step into God's promises? Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.